Good morning to everyone out there this morning. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you again from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. I want to welcome you to our broadcast today, and I want to remind everyone out there that if you're not in a good Bible-believing church, we would like for you to come and join us here at Hilltop Baptist Church. And I want to start out today by making an appeal to anyone out there that may be listening this morning that is lost. I want you to know that today can be your day of salvation. If you will put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sin, He will save you if you ask Him to save you. I want to remind everybody too that we preach real strongly around here on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's either the blood or hell. And that we want to remind everybody also that there is no salvation without repentance. And by repentance, we mean a turning from your sin and a turning to God. We believe that salvation will make a difference in the life of an individual. We believe that the salvation will be evidenced by a sincere attempt to please God in everything that we do. I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to praise you and thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to come and preach and teach your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd be honored and glorified here this morning. I pray, Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up. I pray, Lord, that you would protect me, Lord, from any error, Lord, that I might make, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd be a very special blessing to all our listeners out there today, Lord. I pray too, Lord, that if there'd be anybody listening that's lost, that today would be their day of salvation. We want to thank you and praise you, Lord, and tell you that we love you, Lord, for all that you have done for us and for all that you're going to do. And we just want to praise you, Lord, because you are our God. We thank you for that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray too now that you would bless once again everything that's said here today. We love you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are starting a new series today in our continuing Bible prophecy sermon series. This is our 27th sermon in this series. The subject we will be dealing with in our next few sermons is the unholy Satanic Trinity. The Satanic Trinity is made up of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Together, they mimic God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Satan is the great imposter and imitator. Whatever God establishes as truth in the Word of God, Satan always comes up with a counterfeit. Satan is the author of deception. He has appeared in every false religion and every unbiblical cult that has ever existed. Satan is the author of confusion. Satan wants to usurp the very throne of God and appear in the place of God. The Antichrist imitates, opposes, and wants to be in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. The false prophet fakes God the Holy Ghost and focuses worship upon Satan. And if you look at Revelation chapter 13, he focuses that worship upon the Antichrist, who is Satan's political representative on the face of this earth. The false prophet appears also there in Revelation chapter 13. In the book of Revelation, the unholy Trinity appears together in Revelation chapters 13 and also in chapter 16. The Antichrist is a political head, while the false prophet is a religious head. The Antichrist will manipulate the world's religion through the false prophets, or the false prophet, excuse me, so that he will make himself the ruler of this world. Of the three, the least is said in Scripture about the false prophet, but he is seen to be working throughout the Bible in promoting false religion. If you will, the false prophet is the chief priest of Satan. The false prophet holds many offices throughout the world's religions. The agenda of the false prophet is anti-God and anti-Christ. The false prophet today manifests himself chiefly in the offices of the Roman Catholic Pope and the chief Ayatollahs and the chief Imams of Islam. That is not to rule out the role of Hinduism and Buddhism in promoting Satan's agenda throughout the world. You got to remember, it's all about false religions. That's what it's all about. It is just at this time that the major political power in the hands of Islam and Roman Catholicism, that's where the major political power will be at. We will deal with the role of Satan here first, then we'll follow that with the Antichrist, and then we'll talk a little bit about the false prophet. The theme of this series is going to be that Satan goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let me repeat that again. Satan goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. As Christians, we should not be ignorant of his devices. He is our adversary. He is our enemy. He is the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the enemy of the Bible-believing church. And he is the enemy of every believer. We need to know the enemy. We need to know something about Satan. The intent of this is not to glorify Satan in any way. It is just to equip us so that we will be able to recognize his devices when we see them. Now, the existence of a real and personal Satan is mocked and scoffed at by many today. Satan is a created being. Repeat that. Satan is a created being that possesses the traits of personality. Many do not believe in a real devil, but they rather believe in an evil force. That is a very, very dangerous belief. It is our responsibility as Christians to know as much as we can about Satan. 7 Old Testament books and 19 New Testament books refer to Satan as being a real being. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. This is the warning that comes to us from the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11 says this, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." I'm afraid that today we have not heeded the warning of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, because many people are ignorant of the devices of Satan. They're either ignorant of them or they willfully ignore them. Ignoring the reality of Satan is to make us ignorant of his devices. The reality of Satan is seen in the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ and in Satan's attempts to hinder the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan has vainly fought at every turn to keep the events of Bible prophecy from being fulfilled. Satan done his dead level best to prevent the Lord Jesus Christ from going to the cross by utilizing fratricide, that is in Genesis 4:8. We'll go and read these scriptures in just a minute. Regalicide in 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Infanticide in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. Homicide in John chapter 8, verse 59. And deicide in Matthew chapter 26, verse 38. And also in Luke 22, verse 44. Now, I want you to remember this. Satan is both a murderer and a liar. Satan even attempted to turn the Lord Jesus Christ into a devil worshiper in Matthew chapter 4, verse 9. Now, all of the scriptures that I've just called out, we're going to go and read those. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." Remember that Abel was the promised seed. 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 says this: "And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land." Now, Athaliah was a woman, and she usurped the authority of the throne for 6 years in Israel. And anytime a woman shows up in a position of leadership, she's generally out of the will of the Lord. And she has a spirit of Jezebel when she does that. And notice that that number six there is the number of man, and that number 666 is the number of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. In this attempt in 2 Kings chapter 11, they tried to kill the seed, or kill the king, so they could snuff out the seed line that the Lord Jesus Christ was to come through. Another work of Satan, by the way. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. "Then Herod," this is the infanticide. "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." His attempt was to try to kill the Lord Jesus Christ as an infant. John 8, verse 59, later on in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan provoked this group of religionists to try to murder the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 59, "Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Now, Matthew chapter 26, verse 38. "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Luke chapter 22, verse 44. "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground." All of those are instances there dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember from Matthew chapter 4, verse 9, right before the start of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, here's what Satan had to say. He tried to get the Lord Jesus Christ to worship him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 9, "And saith unto him," this is Satan speaking, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked him, and he used the word of God to rebuke him. Now, the first appearance of Satan in our Bibles takes place in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. I want you to turn in your Bibles and let's read those verses. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Listen to that again. "Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may not eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." I made a mistake in the reading of verse 2. Let me go back up and pick that back up again. Verse 2, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, that is not exactly what God had said. So Satan comes on the scene mocking the very word of God in his first appearance. He mocks the words of God. And he also mocks the fact of whether or not she would surely die. Verse 5 goes on to say, "For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So he tempted Eve to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And by the way, most people remain today camped out under that tree of knowledge of good and evil. They seek after worldly wisdom. And most of the so-called Bible scholars are there, but they're not under the tree of life. They're under the tree of knowledge. In Satan's first appearance in our Bibles, he tells a huge lie that results in the fall of man. The temptation of Eve led both to her fall and also to the fall of Adam. And ever since that point in time, Satan has been lying. He is a liar and a murderer. Satan is called the father of lies by the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 8, verse 44, which states this. John 8, verse 44. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Listen to that. He is a liar and the father of it. Excuse me. And note also in that verse that he's referred to as a murderer. It was him that tempted Cain to commit the first murder. Now, that Satan is a real being and not just some evil force is evidenced by facts that his acts are the acts of a person. The stuff that he does, in other words, are the things that a person does. According to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, I don't have time to go and read all these verses, but according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he is a sinner. John 8, verse 44, and Hebrews 2, verse 14, identify him as a murderer and a liar. The accounts given in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and also in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, documents the fact that he speaks. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, we see that Satan provokes. He provoked David there is what he done. According to Luke chapter 4, verse 2, and 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, Satan tempts. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 and 8, we see that he deceives. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, we see that he works. So we see that he has the acts of a person. Satan also displays personal characteristics through his intellect, his emotions, and his volition. His intellect is illustrated in Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Matthew 4, verse 6, and Ephesians 6, verse 11. Satan shows the emotions of desire in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, pride in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15, and wrath in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. He is shown to have volition, and that's a big word for the word will. He's shown to have a will in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, and also in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. Furthermore, Satan is also given names that identify him as a person. Satan's name occurs 56 different times in our Bibles, 19 times in the Old Testament, and 37 times in the New Testament. He is called the serpent, Satan, the adversary, Lucifer, the king of Tyre, the anointed cherub, the devil, Beelzebub, the prince of the power of the air, and the dragon. Satan's major appearances in the Old Testament were in Genesis chapter 3, First Chronicles chapter 21, Job chapters 1 and 2, Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28, and also in Zechariah chapter 3. The earliest account of Satan's activity time-wise is given in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19. Let us go and read those verses. Turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardarys, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Listen to that again. In the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Let me reread that again. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. There's the origin of sin, folks. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. What a description that is. And by the way, that is Satan that we have just seen described. In verses 13 and 14 of the scripture we just read, we have just learned that Satan is a created being. What that means is that he does not possess the attributes of God. He is not omnipotent. In other words, he's not all-powerful. He is not omnipresent, which means he cannot be everywhere at the same time. Unlike God, who can be everywhere at the same time, he is not omniscient, which means he does not know everything. Satan is not the fallen angel that many see him as. From verses 14 and 16 of Ezekiel 28, we know that he is the anointed cherub. It is significant that he is called the anointed cherub because the word anointed is translated from the same root word that the word Messiah is. The word Messiah means the anointed one. Now, Satan will come as a false Messiah. In verses 12 and 15 of Ezekiel chapter 28, we are told that Satan is the sum of wisdom, beauty, and perfection. It is not inconceivable that he may have been the most beautiful and most intelligent of all the created celestial beings. We are told in Ezekiel 28 verse 13 that Satan appeared in the Garden of Eden. So that right there proves that Ezekiel 28, the verses that we just got through reading, apply to Satan. They can only apply to Satan because he appeared in the Garden of Eden. The description of Satan that is given in Ezekiel 28 is a picture, folks, of what Eve saw in the Garden of Eden. What Eve saw was probably the most dazzling being in the universe. We also know from Ezekiel 28 verse 15 that Satan was created perfect. It is obvious from Ezekiel chapter 28 that Satan had a free will. Further, we also know from Ezekiel 28 verse 15 and 17 that iniquity was found in Satan because of his pride. It's obvious from Genesis chapter 3 and Ezekiel 28 that Satan's moral fall took place somewhere between his creation and the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. Satan's great sin was rooted in the pride of his wicked will. Turn in your Bibles now to Isaiah chapter 14 and let us read verses 4 through 20. We may not be able to go too much further here today, but we're going to read Isaiah chapter 14, verses 4 through 20. Once again, talking about Satan here. Isaiah 14, starting in verse 4, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the whole, that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? All the kings of the nation, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under the feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. I'm going to have to close out there, and we'll come back next week and we'll pick up at this point in this series on the satanic trinity. And we'll talk a little bit more about Satan when we rejoin you next week. I want to thank you for joining us, and I pray that the Lord will richly bless you.